1 Samuel chapter number 16, verses 11 and 12. Someone asked me, why do I do that? And I do that because when we post the sermon, if someone who is not here, they hear it, then they know where we're coming from. So I know you just heard that. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verses 11 through 12. The giant killer in me. I want to start tonight by asking you something. You don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about the question. The question is this: who among us here tonight is not facing something or someone in life? And on the surface, that something or someone seems impossible to defeat. Maybe you're here tonight and your giant tonight is a big old mountain of debt. Or maybe the giant that you are facing tonight is a giant that exists in your relationship. Maybe you're a student and you don't know how you're going to pass that class. You don't know how you're going to get your certification. Or maybe you're here tonight and the giant in which you are facing tonight is a giant called a doctor and the report that you know he's going to give you that says, not I have cancer, but I have AIDS. Whatever it is that you're facing tonight, and that thing seems impossible to you, that's your giant. That's what we want to kill tonight. Now, in life, we all deal with giants. We all run into things that appear to be impossible. The things that appear to be impossible from your sight is just right for God. God sometimes will lead us, a loving God, will lead us down a path, knowing that when we get to the end of the path, trouble is going to be right there. Now, even though God is a loving God, and your question to God is, how can you love me, let alone lead me there? Because sometimes I think God wants us to see us, not from these eyes, but from faith. The Bible declares that it is impossible to please God without faith. And I find that strange because everything in the Bible he could have said. You know, he could have said, it's impossible to please me without tithes and offerings. It's impossible to please me without, you know, going to church. Or it's impossible to please me without all this stuff. But he says, it's impossible to please him without faith. Now, when he said faith in the Bible, that makes me excited because I may not have money, but I can see I have faith. I may not have the resume that the next person had, but I still can have faith. So what God is asking for is something you have. So God is not asking you for the impossible. He's asking you for what should rest inside of you called faith. You know, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so God necessarily don't want you to see where he's taking you. He wants you to trust him that when you get there, his power will meet you there and it will allow you to overcome, but you got to get there first. We quite often want God to do it and then we'll walk into it. That doesn't require faith. And so God allows us to go through some things in life. And so as we begin to go through the things in life, we quite often wonder, what does this have to do with where I'm going? I'm sure David was sitting in the field, night after night, week after week,
month after month, and say, now what in the world me sitting out here with some sheep have to do with my anointing? You ever feel sometimes you're anointed to do something, but God won't allow you to do it then? You ever feel like I'm anointed to open a business, start a business, run a business, you know you can, but God still won't release you to it? Because God has to allow you to go through some things, we call it on-the-job training, so that when you get it, you already prepared. See, we want to go on the job and train on the job, and God is saying, I don't have time to fool with you in that way. I'm going to allow you to go through some things, through the storms, through the fire, so when you get there, you know how to act.
Amen.
Okay. So here's David. David is sitting in the field, and night after night, he's watching sheep. Now, I found that strange because David was doing what God would later call him to do.
Amen.
What you're going through now is what God is going to call you into with an anointing to do it. But you keep complaining about where you are, and God is saying, that's your calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying to you.
Go ahead.
God, if you'll promote me on this job, then. And God is saying, but you are in the anointed place for this season right now. But you're looking at a promotion from man to open a door from you or for you. And God is saying, if man promotes you, man can demote you. But if God lifts you higher, no one can ever pull you down. God is saying, you better keep your focus on me. And so God begins to deal with Samuel to get to David. And so here it is one night. Or one day, Samuel comes to Jesse. Now, Samuel is an anointed person. He is what you would call a preacher. So here he is. He comes to Jesse's house. When he gets to Jesse's house, what he says to Jesse is that you have a child, you have a son, and God has called your son to replace Saul. So when Samuel gets to Jesse's house, he says, line up all of your children, because in your house there's an anointed king. Jesse does what we do. We look. But Jeff don't look like a king. See, what you're looking at is not what God is looking at. That's why your little jacked up resume allows you to keep on getting promoted. Because you looking at, or they looking at, what's on paper. And God is looking at what's in your heart. I know what I placed inside of you. I don't care nothing about your resume. I don't care nothing about your age. I don't care nothing about your stature. When I call you, I'm ready for you. And so, there in Jesse's house, Jesse does an interesting thing. He lines up all of his boys, minus one, who's in the field. David is sitting back there by Danae. And so David is on the back of the mountain, out of the way, and nobody sees him. But the ceremony is going on in the house. You may feel like your cubicle is too far from the supervisor for you to get noticed. Therefore, they will continue to pass you up. I came to tell you, when it's your time, the supervisor will go out in the wilderness to find you.
Amen. Amen.
Samuel said, it's in your house. He takes oil. Oil in the Bible represents anointing. He takes the oil and he says, I have the oil. I'm ready. So he says, Jesse, let me see your son. And so Jesse pulls out the oldest, because, you know, the oldest boy is supposed to get it. And Samuel says, not this one. That's not him. Mm-hmm. So he brings then the next boy. And he says, that must be him. And Samuel says, no, that's not it. How can I sing the worship in church? Yeah. It was for real. Mm-hmm. Maybe. God doesn't look at this. He looks at your heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so boy after boy after boy after boy after boy after boy. And then Samuel says, no, that's not it. Do you have any more children? He says, yeah. Dwayne is out in the back somewhere. He doesn't look like much. Jeff, run and get David from the back. And so he runs back there where Dwayne is, and Dwayne is David, and he grabs that one. And he brings him in. Come here, Dwayne. So he goes, come on. And he runs and he gets him. And as he comes in, he's looking like old thug. Don't look like much. Because he's been in the back.
Yeah.
Because when Jesse lined his boys up, they were already on the deacon ministry. It must be one of them. They were already in the praise and worship ministry, so it must be him. And one after another, Samuel said, no, that's not him. That's not him. That's not him. No, that's not him. And then here comes the little Rudy Poo one. The one that doesn't look like anything. And Samuel said, that's him. That's him. See, we get in trouble when we begin to look at people and try to size up their religion or Christianity. You can't necessarily see it with your eyes. Because, baby, I can fool you for an hour and 15 minutes up in here. But God knows the heart of a man. And it may not be totally developed, but God is looking at the character, even though character has not been developed yet. And then God says to Samuel, he says, that's him. And he takes it and he just anoints the head.
Amen. Amen.
The anointing is the transfer of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Samuel does it, not Jesse. Samuel, the preacher, says he's anointed. And we still look and say, not him. Not him, thank you. Not him. See, the point is, what you look at, God is not necessarily interested in. I believe and I know that God has anointed me. Be careful with your life from this night forward.
Yes. Amen.
He then puts the oil on David. He transfers the anointing. And so he says, ruler today.
Hallelujah.
Now what David wasn't, he now becomes, Dwayne, because there was a transfer of anointing.
Hallelujah.
When the anointing of God comes upon you, you can expect some wild things from people. Look in your Bible in chapter number 16, verse number 14. Now, when Samuel anoints David, verse number 14 says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samuel." When the anointing is transferred to you, here comes your haters. See, when you are promoted, that's when they really start hating on you. Because when you are anointed, there's a Shekinah glory that is upon you. They may not like you, but they know it's something special about you. Now here David is. David is anointed because I'm about to kill myself. David is anointed. And now that David is anointed, he comes to Saul. Saul knows that the evil spirit just entered him because God just shifted the anointing to David. And so now Saul is after David to kill him. David says, this is one. He says, "I'll touch not God's anointed." See, we like to get in trouble and say, "Jeff said something about me, and the Bible says, touch not the anointed." That's not what it means. Don't get holy on me. What David said about Saul is that God placed him there, and I'm going to respect what God has done. You may not like the preacher. Be careful.
All right.
That's right.
You may not like the deacon, but be careful. You may not like the minister of music, but touch not God's, not yours. I'm glad. Touch not God's anointed. And do his prophets, the one that is proclaiming his word, do him no harm. And so here David says, "I'm ready to fight. What do you want me to do, Saul?" And so Saul says, "Boy, what can you do? Just a little old rooted pool. You can't do anything." David says, "I understand you're having some problems with a giant. Everybody that you see, and they are afraid of Goliath." David says, "I'll go kill him for you, Saul." "Yeah, right. What are you going to do? Take your slingshot?" Sometimes people are trying to be funny about what you have, and it's not about what you have, it's about it being in the right hand. At that right hand, there's fullness of joy. It may not look like much to you, but as long as this hand is in his hand, he'll make a way out of no way for me. He'll open a door time after time for me. And so David says, "I'll go and I'll fight Goliath." And so he goes, and perhaps our mindset is that, "Well, David, you better take a sword." And so if you're not careful, you'll give someone something they don't need and mess them up. Sometimes you think folk really need $20 and they really need a word from you. Sometimes you think folk really need a ride and they really need something else. So what we'll do is that we'll give you something. We'll give him a sword. He'll need the sword to fight. But what David understood is that this sword can't do what this sword can do for me. So you got to be careful that you give me what I really need to fight the giant in my life. And so here's David. David goes to Goliath and he calls him a Philistine dog. That's fighting words. Now, here you are, Dwayne, only this high, looking like a little lad who smells like sheep because you've been on the backside. And you tried to fight this big giant. How are you going to win? Who are you? And David takes what is a child's toy, a slingshot. Wouldn't you laugh at David going to fight a giant with a slingshot? Come on, David, I appreciate you wanting to fight for me. At least take a 9mm to the fight. David understood it wasn't the sword. What David understood is that my God trumps your giant every time.
Amen.
See, what David understood is that God will always allow and start you to use what's in your hand. The problem is we think what's in our hand is beneath what somebody else has. So God says you need to walk through life and you need to covet not your neighbor's house. Don't worry about what's going on over there. Don't worry about how well the rims shine over there, because it may not be real.
All right.
David takes the slingshot and he begins to wind it up. And he throws and he hits the giant, and the giant falls down. I'm sure if you woke David up from the grave and asked him about the stone, remember that, the stone that he had in his slingshot, he would tell you it was nothing special about that. I'm sure if you took the slingshot and you inspected that one, you would discover that there was nothing special about the slingshot. What happened is that David took a stone. Follow me in closing. He took a stone or a pebble or a rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Baby, you got a stone in your hand tonight. Whatever giant you're facing tonight, I came to tell somebody you can kill your giant tonight. You got what you need in your hand. All you got to do is put the other hand in the hand of the mighty man. When God connects with you and he's holding your hand and he's guiding you, you better believe you're going to be on point every time. You're going to be on target every time. You have within you a giant killer tonight. See, you got to know who you are.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Nothing special about David. And to look at you, there's nothing special about you. You're not 7 feet. You're not this big muscular person. And God is saying, but I know the size of your heart. In other words, I know the size of your faith. The Bible declares that God deals with every man or woman according to the measurement of their faith. That's the giant killer tonight. It's your faith. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? And when I say where, I don't mean location. I'm talking about who.
Amen.
Who do you believe?
Amen.
Do you believe that God can do it? I know it looks impossible, but God can do all things but fail. And you see, what God is trying to show us tonight is that if your faith is right, he says, I'm right for you.
Hallelujah.
If your faith is right, where you are is just right for you. You're going through hell tonight, and you got people chasing you, and God is saying, you are in the right place for my grace.
Hallelujah.
Grace does what you can't do. Grace don't step in until you understand your weakness.
Yeah.
See, grace steps in when you say, I can't do it.
Amen.
Grace says, I can.
Amen.
And so as you begin to walk with God, and you understand that giants, the impossibilities, what appear to be impossible, is all around you. And God is saying, upon this rock, I build my church. You see, the church that God is talking about is not the building. The church is you. He says, you may be messed up. You may be jacked up. Your credit may be bad. And cancer and AIDS and everything else may be all around you. But I got need for you. I got need for you. I need for you to pull something off on this earth that you can't do independent of me. But if you abide in me and I'll abide in you, we can do some awesome things together. You ever found yourself going through something and didn't have anyone to touch and agree with you because you were all alone? I'm glad the Holy Spirit shows up. Well, I'm never alone. It's always two or three together in His name. Even if I have to bend on one knee and say, Holy Spirit, show up in my life. And the Holy Spirit shows up and He comes and He begins to comfort me and He begins to guide me and He begins to fight my battles and He begins to open doors and He begins to allow me to walk over troubles. The giant killer that is inside of you. Wherever you are spiritually, whatever it is that you're going through, that which you face tonight that appears to be impossible, it is nothing in comparison to your God. Think about this. If God loves you so much that He gave you His very best, God is in heaven. And Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is right there. And He says to the Holy Spirit, you can't go right now. Emmanuel, we could go. And the Bible declares that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He came down in the form of a man. And so God says, I'll dress myself in a body. He separated heaven for you. He stepped out of heaven, stepped through Mary's womb. And He says, I'm here. But I will not be born in the castle. I want to be born so that you can relate to me. No room? Yeah, there was room. That was in the plan. So He walks into a manger, Joseph and Mary, give birth to a child that we can relate to. And the Bible declares, and He grew in spirit. He grew, Jesus grew in spirit. And God is growing you tonight. Yeah, you're facing a giant. But you need to tell your giant about your God.
Amen.
Your giant thinks he bad. You gotta know your God is bad.
Amen.
Your giant thinks that he can defeat you. God knows that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Your giant thinks He's going to cut off your supplies. But your God knows that He's going to supply all of your needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Every last one of them.
Hallelujah.
Every last
Hallelujah.
One.
Hallelujah.
He's doing it right now.
Thank you, Lord.
He's supplying all of your needs.
Thank you, Lord.
No good things will He withhold from you. Just be right. And it's not predicated on your righteousness, but His. I live through Him. I live through Him. The giant that you walk in here with, leave it with your God to fight.
me leave you with three points very closely, and I realize the time. Point number one is this. God doesn't see how we see. In the natural, David was not qualified to fight the giant. In the natural, you're not qualified to fight your giant. A giant is a supernatural being. You were born in the natural, but you were reborn.
Supernatural.
Super.
Hallelujah.
So when you came out of this water, you was the giant killer to now go out and fight battle with the super giant. Because God took his super, touched the natural, and made you supernatural. He even called you his child. Point number one, God doesn't see what we see or how we see. Point number two, God is not afraid of what scares us. You afraid that you're going to miss that mortgage payment? God is saying, that doesn't scare me. I'll even allow you to miss it and bless you in the same month. Hey now!
Hallelujah, glory to God.
He's not afraid of what scares you. So he invites you to cast all your cares upon him because he's saying, I'm not scared. I'm not even shocked nor surprised when trouble comes your way. Oh God, did you see what happened? Yeah, Reggie, relax. I knew it, Reggie. Relax. But God, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to make a way out of no way if you allow me to. Can you just sit still just for a little while? He asked the disciples, could you not pray for a little while? Just be still. I know where you are. I know what you're going through. He says, but I got you. Last point, and that is God is always sovereign. In other words, God is always in control and over everything that you go through. What you're going through tonight in closing, God is saying, I'm over that. And you say, well, how could you be over that? Because you haven't moved. And God is saying, you're still alive. I've moved. I'm just not ready to step in right now. But you better believe a God who never sleeps, never slumber, he's always on the job. You may not see God, for God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I may not see him, but he's truth. He's true to his word. Every promise, every covenant in here, he's true to it. The Bible declares in Numbers 23:19 that God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, it shall.
He does.
What has God said about you?
Glory to God.
It shall be done. Didn't I tell you I never leave you, never forsake you? It shall be done. Didn't I tell you I'll fight your battles? It shall be done. Didn't I tell you no weapon that is formed against you shall
prosper?
It's coming. But don't worry about it. Jeff just shooting blanks. He's just talking. Hear what you say, Jeff? But you don't have the power to hurt me. Because God has already put a hedge of protection around you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
My God. Thank you, Lord God.
Come on, stand tonight as we prepare to leave.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The giant killer in me. Your giant killer is your faith.
Thank you.
Walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out. Do you know Jesus? Does he live in your heart? That's what the church is.
Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, gates meaning every opportunity, windows, every opportunity, everything that Satan has the opportunity to throw against you, he says, it shall not prevail. Stop looking at it. It's gonna come, but it won't hit you. And if it hits you, it has to bounce off because you're anointed for that time, for that season.
God allows you to go through something, but he got you.
All about relationship. He's already transferred the anointing to you. And he says, be in relationship with me.
As the deacons come tonight, we want to open the doors of the church tonight so that someone can walk into this church and someone can understand and receive the power of God to fight the giants in your life tonight.